verses 1 through 16. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And this is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. And what does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and becoming mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. And instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Will you guys pray with me? Dear Lord, I thank you so, so much for your many, many gifts that you give us. The joy of coming together and joining together as a body, your love being our lifeblood. I pray that you will be that lifeblood in us today, that you will open the ears of our hearts to hear your voice in all of the words spoken today. And Lord, I thank you so much for loving this world so much that you gave your only Son. And Lord, I ask that you will empower us to be his body as he is our head, and to help us to follow him and chase after all of his plans wherever he leads us. Unite us together by that same love. Unite us with the people on the other side of the globe. Unite us with people through all time who have sought you. And I ask that you will do something mighty for your name through us. I ask that you be with the speakers this morning. Give them your holy confidence. And I ask that you will give us your love with each other as we meet together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
The kids can follow Miss Jenny out if you would like to go to Children's Church.
All right, are we okay? Very good. One more little announcement. The last song that we did really made me think. It talked about we must go and feed the hungry. Whenever we have a guest, a first or second time guest, if you fill out one of these little connect cards, and we have them in the chairs in front of you and they're pins, but if you fill one of these out, we take your information just to send you a follow up and thank you for being here. But we also make a donation of several meals at the Compassion Center to feed needy people around the Indianapolis area. So if you would do that favor for us, that's something that we do. I keep tabs of this, and we're getting close to writing another check. We wait until we have enough cards to write a check, but we're about doing that, so let's see if we can get it over the top today. Get ready to send another check to the Compassion Center to feed people. All right, so this week, I was reading a book, and I was very inspired by a section of it. And I went upstairs and I read this section to Jenny, and she said, why don't you just read it? So I'm going to do that this morning. So I'm pulling it out. Ugh. All right. That's not going to work. Hopefully this works for us later. The Bible's a little heavy. So here's the book I've been reading. I got the wrong copy of a book, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Old School. That's what I was supposed to do. If you were here in December, and God bless you if you weren't, we're still happy to have you here. But I talked about going to a graduation at Purdue for an engineering, a guy who got an engineering degree for a lot of hard work. His name's Eduardo Reyes, a longtime friend. His brother left this in my van, so I got to give it back to Eduardo. But I want to take just a moment in this service to acknowledge Eduardo, his very, very hard work, good character that he's put in to be able to get an engineering degree at Purdue. Yeah. Congratulations. IU people, be nice. He's got the Purdue sweatshirt on. My daughter's sitting next to him, and she's an IU student. So we're talking about unity. If a Purdue and IU student can sit next to each other, unity is possible. Right? Okay. So today's passage, it talks about the one body, one spirit, one hope, all those really, really great things, one God and Father overall. So one of my questions as we look at this is, how can we experience the love and unity of this passage? And it says in verse 3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So what is it that keeps us from unity of the Spirit? And that's the book. This is what I'm going to read here. Jenny told me to read it. I read it to her. Then I read it to a group of pastors this weekend at a retreat that Pastor Emily and Jenny and I were at with other pastors from around the state. But I wanted to share this with you. So anyway, this chapter is called The Cost of Non-Discipleship. A guy named Bonhoeffer wrote a book called Cost of Discipleship. This is the cost of non-discipleship. He says, a denominational leader recently asked me, why are Christians so mean? The answer is that Christians are taught by word and example that it's more important to be right than it is to be Christ-like. Being right licenses the person to be mean. Righteously mean, of course. Now, I may say something that you can be mad at me about. A fundamental mistake of much of the Western church is that its basic goal is to get people into heaven rather than to get heaven into people. This creates groups of people who may be ready to die, but clearly are not ready to live. They rarely can get along with one another, much less those outside. Often, their most basic intimate relations are tangles of reciprocal harm, coldness, and resentment, righteous meanness. They have become Christian without being Christ-like. The way to get as many people into heaven as you can is to get heaven into as many people as you can. I'm gonna get back with this in a little bit, but it gave me a memory. And I'm going to try to be nice here, but once upon a time, I was in a place, and there was a church that was prominent, related to a group that's not going to be named, but they kept having splits. And so, like, we would find out that we had a lot of different congregations. This was a church split, and one of them went by the name of Harmony after a split, which we always kind of got a kick out of, like, Harmony? Okay, like a split, like people get mad and leave. And all that. And one time from Harmony Church, a person got mad and somehow ended up at the church I was at, which was a real leap. And so I got to know this person was dying, didn't have much time to live, but the last few months of life, I got to know this person. So when they passed away, the family asked a pastor from the past. I wasn't going to officiate or anything, but I went to the viewing. And as I stood in line at the viewing, ready to pay my condolences to the family, I was eavesdropping on a couple of Harmony church members right before me. Harmony church members right in front of me. And they were speaking very loud, so it wasn't like it was hard to do. But the conversation revolved around how angry these two men were at their sons. They had raised them the right way, and their sons left the church, and they'd gone to the devil, and they were just really upset about this. They hadn't talked to their sons in years, and they were talking about all the kids who had been gone and weren't talking, and all these, like, divided relationships. And one of the things that they consoled themselves as we got near the casket to give our condolences was that they were saying, do you know if any of these kids that left the church, if they're going to be back at the funeral? Like, I don't know. We haven't talked to them. But he says, I hope so, because if they come to the funeral, the pastor's going to give them hell. And I thought, I actually don't want to be given hell, so I didn't go to the funeral. Now, like, I'm kind of more of a heaven person than a hell, but I was just thinking, like, how sad is that? Is that the solace? We're going to give them hell. And that's how they're going to come back into the church or to reconcile. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. As that is the cost of non-discipleship. But let's go back to Ephesians. Ephesians, it says in verse 3 there, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. I found this very comforting that the beginning was maybe troubling with the cost of non-discipleship. But he writes, Dallas Willard writes this, more important than whether the music is right is whether the people on the worship team or in the church choir love each other. More important than having capable staff members is whether they love and respect each other. It's a strange thought to some Christians that the most important thing about any meeting at church is not what is accomplished or decided, but whether the participants treat each other with the love of Christ. We could give them hell, or we can bring heaven to people. Which one do we want to do? Now, this really encouraged me as a church, because I see this happening. I see people loving one another. I see this love and unity. And I think bringing heaven is what Jesus set out to do. What did he pray? He didn't pray for hell to come. He taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's heaven coming to earth. Yeah, heaven is afterlife and great too, but we're called for heaven to come to earth. What is it that Jesus taught that the disciples, people who follow Jesus, that's the term talking about people who follow Jesus, what are we to be known for? Love, right? And the way we love one another, flesh and blood, we're to be known for how we love one another. That's a unity thing and a love and coming together as one body. And the last night of his life before Jesus departed this earth, he prayed for us in the future church. The future is now, but the thing that he prayed is that we would be one with the Lord and that we would be one with each other. And he even said in his prayer, so that the world will know that God sent Jesus, and that is by we're to be brought into complete unity. Now, that is, again, that's our heritage and in the church of God. That's one of the things that we really believe in, that there's one church, and he's calling us to unite, to be a united church and a holy church. But we're one with people all over the world. Think about that today. We're here in Indianapolis, but we're connected on the internet with people from different places too. But we are one. If you're coming from a different place, we're one with the believers in the place you're coming from. There's this beautiful unity that we have. Now, fortunately, today I
don't have to talk too much more about this.
Because we're going to call up our speaker. We have this great opportunity here in Indianapolis today to hear about what the Lord is doing to bring people in Africa, our brothers and sisters in Africa, together in unity. So it is an honor that I invite Laura's dad, is what we call you. Larry Sellers, his wife Leanne are here. Laura's parents are here with us today. And they've been missionaries for decades. the majority of it being in Africa. So we get the pleasure. Thank you so much, Larry, for being with us today, and we anticipate what you have to share with us.
Thank you very much. We are delighted to be here as Laura's dad and Laura's mom. Excuse me. I'm still adjusting my voice to Indiana, I think. We are indeed glad to be with you and have this opportunity for us to share in a Faith Promise convention here at your church, or Faith Promise Emphasis, and we are thankful that you have added us as a part of that. You are one of our newest supporting churches, and we're very thankful for your support financially, but also through prayers and through taking good care of our daughter as well. That's a big support, and we appreciate that very much. And I appreciate the emphasis on unity that Pastor Daniel has begun in helping us to understand, because that is important in the Christian life, in the Church of God in particular. And so I'm going to share just three illustrations, maybe, of this idea of unity in the body of Christ that comes from our experiences in Africa, and hope that that will connect with you in some way, as well as what God has called you to do and to live as his body here in Indianapolis. And so, first of all, I want to talk a bit about the idea of one faith, which is a part of the scripture. And if you read the scripture again, you note how many times we see the word one, which is often different in our country and where we live in our daily lives, where we see so much diversity and so many things that are not one. And yet God has called us to live in one faith and serve him as one Lord, as one body, and share one hope that we have in Christ. Our role as missionaries has been to teach primarily leaders of the church in various countries. We have served first in Haiti, and then in Congo, in Rwanda, in Kenya, and for the last 29 years we have been in the West African country of Côte d'Ivoire, or Ivory Coast, where we have taught leaders, we've directed our Bible school for training pastors, and we have had the opportunity to share the one faith that we have as a church and as individuals in serving God and helping our African brothers and sisters to understand that faith as well. Because if there's one thing that's needed, there's two things that are needed probably in the African church context. It's an understanding of faith and what that includes, because there are many, many different things that are taught in Africa, many different religious groups, backgrounds, influences that are very diverse and often not at all what we understand as Christian faith. And so one of our goals and roles has been to teach the Word of God, the teachings of the Bible, to African leaders to help them to be able to replicate that, to teach others as well. And as Pastor Daniel said earlier, the idea of unity is a very much a crucial part of the doctrines and teachings of the Church of God, to preach it, but hopefully more so to live it out as well. And so that is one of our goals. In the last 29 years, we have been doing that in Côte d'Ivoire. In the last three of that has expanded to include several other French-speaking countries that we are helping to take the teachings of the Word of God to help train leaders to serve. We are currently teaching classes in Church of God teachings and doctrines in Côte d'Ivoire, but also Burkina Faso. Those are in West Africa. And then in Central Africa, we are also in Congo, Rwanda, and most recently Burundi. These are all French-speaking countries where we have the opportunity to develop materials and train leaders in the teachings of the Church of God, so that we have a united, one faith understanding of what our beliefs are, what the faith is that God has called us to do, because we come from churches and backgrounds across Africa that are extremely diverse. And so it helps us to consolidate our common faith, where Africans struggle with a diversity of many different faiths across Africa. And so that has been our primary challenge over the last 3 years as we travel to these different countries, teaching classes and courses in the Bible, in God's Word, and in the doctrines of the Church of God. Another major need in Africa is to help the church understand the body of Christ that is very diverse, very broad, and also united, and very much one body, as Paul says in this passage several times. And that's hard to do in a continent that is three times the size of the United States with very difficult travel infrastructure. We don't have roads that cross all of Africa, for instance. You cannot drive from Nairobi or Ethiopia all the way across Africa to Dakar, Senegal, for instance. There are just no roads to do that, much less the distance and the desert and the forests and everything else in between. You can fly, but that's often very difficult and not within the realm of possibility for the vast majority of Africans. So we have a very diverse church. And even within the Church of God, we have churches in about 17 or 18 different countries across Africa, most of whom have never had contact with one another. Often even within their own countries, they don't have contact with each other. And so in the last 3 years, the Church of God in Africa has worked to bring about a body to help the church understand that we are one body. And that body is called the All Africa Assembly of the Church of God. It has leaders from as far from South Africa all the way to East Africa, Tanzania, to West Africa in Cote d'Ivoire, Liberia. And these leaders are working together to try to help encourage communication across Africa and opportunities to get to know one another through things like WhatsApp, through applications on our cell phones. Because if there's one thing that almost every African has these days, it's a cell phone and access to the cell phone. And so that is a means that God is using to bring the African church together to understand that we are indeed one body. My wife and I work under the auspices of the All Africa Assembly, doing what we call Africa Francophone Ministries, which is just the part of the Church of God in Africa that is simply emphasizing outreach to French-speaking countries. You may not realize that out of 55 countries in Africa, 22 of those are French-speaking. And yet the Church of God is only in 5 of those 22 countries. And so our goal is to help consolidate and encourage the church in those 5 countries and begin reaching out to other countries as well. We hope in the next couple of years to reach out to 2 new French-speaking countries in Africa. And so we appreciate your prayers and encouragement in that as God opens those doors, that we can move into those 2 new countries as well. One thing that Africans do to express their unity and solidarity is they like to dress alike for special occasions, especially. If you'll notice, my wife and I are wearing the same material today. This is called a paigne, which is a French term just for material. But in Africa, for special occasions like an anniversary or a wedding or even a funeral, everybody in the church will dress using the same material and then come together for that event wearing that material in unity. And then it becomes a reminder of that event as they wear that material in opportunities in the future as well. And so that's one material way that Africans express their unity in their dress as well. And finally, we are encouraged to reach out with the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the one hope that we have in sharing the life of Christ that he has called all of us to live and to encourage others to live as well. That hope extends to Africans across Africa who have great needs. You've probably seen some of the very tragic situations going on in Congo recently, where over 3,000 to 4,000 people have been killed just in the last 2 weeks in eastern Congo by an attacking a rebel group, a militia, who are in opposition to the government and have taken over 2 major cities in eastern Congo. There are problems in Rwanda and Burundi related to that as refugees flee Congo into those countries. There is severe war going on in Sudan, many, many parts of Africa where people are struggling to find hope. And we as a church are called to bring one hope to the world in need in Africa, but even here in Indianapolis. You may not realize it, although I think your church has a very good ethnic background for to see that we live in a culturally diverse city of Indianapolis and the world around us, just in the United States in general, but particularly here in Indy, I notice that we have people from many different countries living here. My wife and I were at the Castleton Mall a few weeks ago, and we needed to buy a cable for a cell phone charger, and we were looking for someplace, and we saw a little stand in the middle of the mall there, that sold cell phone supplies. And so we went up there, and as soon as we walked up to the counter, we saw two young men that we both saw it without even saying a word. These young men must be from West Africa. They just looked very, very much West African. And so we greeted them in French. And they responded, very surprised that we spoke French, they responded back in French. And we found out that they were actually from the country of Guinea, which is our neighboring country in West Africa, next to Côte d'Ivoire. And they had only been in Indy for a little over a year and a half or so, and were working there just to try to make some money. And they shared with us that it's actually quite a large Guinean community right here in Indianapolis. On another time, a couple of years ago, we went with our daughter Laura to an Afro-Caribbean market and discovered that the lady running this little grocery store for African goods was actually from Côte d'Ivoire, from our country. And she shared with us that there are over 40 that she knows of families from Côte d'Ivoire living in Indianapolis as well. That's just a small taste of the cultural diversity that is around us right here in Indianapolis. And God has actually placed us in the middle of a mission field right here. I did a little study, some statistics, and found that Indiana as a whole is actually number 8 in terms of states with the largest number of international students in that particular state. The top ones are the more populated ones like New York, Texas, and California. But Indiana is just very close to following those bigger states as well. And yet we're number 8 in terms of the number of international students in colleges and universities across Indiana. I checked out a few statistics on that and found that IUPUI has over 6% of their students are from other countries outside of the United States, representing 80 different countries. Indiana University has over 7,000 international students from 122 countries. Those statistics may be a bit old. That was in 2019. But I'm sure our students from there could probably update those statistics, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're not much more than that, significantly more than that by this point as well. And so God has placed us right here in the midst of a mission field to reach out to people who need hope, who need encouragement. It's been my experience, even in Anderson University, our church school, that international students often come from other countries, study here in the U.S., and are never invited into an American home, who never experience what life is like for American families, who have never been to a Thanksgiving meal or celebrated Christmas with an American family. And so those are opportunities that we can do, we can find quite easily just to share and open up our lives and hope in Christ to people who have not experienced hope, who do not have a home where they're staying right now. And so I want to encourage you to think about that, those opportunities that God may be placing around you. I wouldn't be surprised in not many of the places you work, there are many persons of various other ethnic backgrounds and international backgrounds who work beside you or close to you in your home, your different work settings every day. God has placed us in a setting where we don't have to go very far to be in the mission field. But sometimes going across town can be just as difficult as going across the world. And so I want to encourage you to take that challenge. Ask God, where can I reach out? Where can I share the one hope that I have in Christ with someone who doesn't have that hope, who has not experienced it? You have people in your midst in this congregation who are good at that and would be happy to help you. Our daughter is one who I'm sure would be happy to do that because that's kind of how she grew up. And she knows what it's like to grow up in a place or to go to college in a place where she didn't grow up and felt maybe out a bit outside until someone reached out to her as well. And you all have done great at that, and we appreciate that. And just by seeing the diversity of your congregation, I know that that's a part of your DNA as well. And so we encourage you in that, sharing the seed of Christ, the hope that we have, as Pastor Daniel said, by sharing a little bit of heaven, to put the one hope of heaven that we have received into the lives of others who need that desperately as well. And so we thank you for what you're doing, and we want to encourage you through your faith promise, through your outreach in various ways, to share that one faith, one in one body and one hope to those in need around you in the coming weeks and months and years as well. We thank you for your support of us as your missionaries that help us to be able to do that as well. And we have a small gift that we want to present. And so I'd like to ask my wife to come up, and Pastor Daniel, if you'd come up and accept this gift that just represents the one hope that we have to share with others as well.
We are so very thankful, as Larry said, to be here with you this morning and to also express to you how thankful we are that you are with us, that you walk with us. You may not be there personally, but you do walk with us, and we are so very grateful for each one of you. And we would like to give this gift to the church. I would like you to open it, and I would like to explain a little bit to you about it. This is a gift that was done by a man that we knew who lived in Cote d'Ivoire. He is no longer with us, but he was a wonderful man, and we really appreciated him. And he did a lot of these for us, a lot of batiks. And this one is really special to us because to us, Pastor Daniel, you can go ahead and pull that one out too. That's especially for you. But this one is for the church, and we'd love for you to open that up, please. And this is a batik, and if you turn it the other way, you'll see a woman. And if you'll see inside, she's doing something. She is sifting those grains. And as you look at that batik, we would like you to think of yourself as one of those pieces of grain that you see that are being sifted, and that you hold something inside of you that you need to give to someone else, and that is the hope of Christ. And so we hope that as you look at this batik, you would not just think of, oh, that's a batik. That batik has meaning for what Christ is doing in each one of us. And we are so, so very thankful for each one of you. Thank you so much.